Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The fact that we have the history now of him buying this knife, and then after the fact, after the murders, his history shows he goes back to Amazon and looks again at the same knife. And I don't believe he bought a new one, but it was, you know, looked at, considered. What does that tell us, I guess, of anything about this case, of about that piece of evidence that he left the sheath there? We still don't know what actually happened to the knife itself. Why would he be going back and looking at this again? Is he, you know, wanting to get a replacement sheath, or is this so he has it in his possession, so if they ever do look at him, oh, I got my knife right here. Now, it couldn't have possibly been mine. I'm just trying to think what is going on in that brain of his, that broken brain, that this is going to be a solution to a problem that he's facing.
I think that's one of the options and possibilities, that he was looking to replace that which he lost. There's also the possibility that he liked the method for his execution of his horrendous crime, and he wanted to use it again. Mm-hmm. And there's also the possibility that I'm kind of thinking of just him as individual, of kind of being, again, just from the third party looking in, you know, of maybe being a bit OCD, and he's going to really fixate on exactly how he did what he did with what he did it with. And he was going to kind of maybe examine whether that was effective or not effective or not. I think he was going to study himself and how that actually worked. And because this is what serial killers in infancy do, is they examine what they did and think about how could they do it better next time. So that might've been part of his own self-study as well.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if he was, thinking about, well, let's go for a round two somewhere.
I'm on board with that. That's exactly what was going to happen next. This was not going to be a one off. I mean, because this thing about it. So people that are murdered and have violence done against them, that there's always a personal connection. Like we've said, 95 to 98% of the time there's a personal connection because of vengeance, feelings of hatred, anger, resentment, all the negative emotions towards an individual or an organization, institution, that all that rage gets directed at, and it's an arc of their lives that they're going to escalate to violence. When you're dealing with someone that doesn't have necessarily a deep connection at all, we don't know what prosecution knows or defense knows at this point when it comes to any connection at all, and we're going to start entering the world and realm of possibility of serial killer, you know, there's a whole different kind of mindset, that the reason by which they're doing it, for a fantasy world. They're trying to fulfill an emotional fantasy to get an emotional response that they haven't felt in anything before, get that rush that they've been missing because they have psychopathy, they have a lack of empathy, as he's the self-described in his writings earlier in life. And so this might have been just the first, most likely, to a series of what he was going to do, like serial killers do, to get that fantasy, to get that rush, you know. And that kind of brings us to the point too, you know, of that selfie he took. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, when there's going to be a lot of conjecture, a lot of theories out there on that, and people a lot more professional probably about it than I am. But when you look at that, you know, right there, that thumbs up, what serial killers, not saying he's a serial killer, who knows at this point, not convicted or not, obviously, but they're trophy. You know, they all go for trophies in some way. And the point of a trophy, the point of how they position bodies and do these things, is so they can remember it and remember that fantasy to get that same rush. In this case, it doesn't appear to be, again, we don't know all the evidence yet, any trophy that was taken from the scene. Bodies didn't have time to necessarily be staged for his own mental fantasy. So what's he have to do to remember the moment? Bam.
Yeah. Thumbs up. After he gets his shower and he gets all cleaned up.
So it'd be interesting too, is, you know, because kind of thinking about what this could serve in a courtroom, is if you then I don't have the ability to put my hand over it, but if you put your hand right above his nose there and then show that photo to the one surviving, you know, the one, you know, the survivor who saw the bushy eyebrow.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, just kind of, yeah, I got to see.
Take that because, you know, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Take that and show that in the courtroom.
Yeah. It's distinctive without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, you could put a, you know, you could just draw on that and you put a mask and go,
You can generate an AI, photo of that, you know, of what it would look like as she described it and then show it to her. And then, so who knows how her, she's been through a lot of trauma, you know, the one surviving, roommate. I don't guarantee, but you put that in the courtroom with that image on there, and watch the emotional response she has to actually seeing what she saw that night.
Yeah.
You're going to know whether it's accurate or not.
You're going to get a trigger response pretty quick there.
Yeah.
The selfie itself, again, it's insane. If he did this, if there's one thing that's going to get him in front of a firing squad, it's this.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Tony, one more thing to look at in this photo too.
Yeah.
So think about everything, again, just things that start popping out at you. Think about all the images we've seen of Koberger to this point. What's different in this photo?
He's smiling. It's the only one he's smiling in.
What did we just spend our time talking about? A lack of emotional response, and this was going to be the only thing that gave an emotional response, and there it is.
Yeah.
He feels an emotion. Yeah. First time we've seen it.
And that's what drives some of these people. They have to go something? To these extremes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So the conjecture being, so again, if I was the prosecution, that's exactly what I would be highlighting right now. Is like, here's someone who's self-described, does not have an emotional response to anything, has that visual snow issue going on in life and everything else, as he has described himself as being, at being non-emotional, non-responsive to anything. All the photos, and then I'd show a series of photos of him in the courtroom, photos of him everywhere in life where he's just got the stoic, non-demonstrative facial expressions always. And the only facial expression we've ever seen ever of him that shows any kind of emotion is what they're claiming happened after the murder there. That's exactly what I'd be pointing out.
It's ghoulish. I don't know any way to describe it. It's just ghoulish. But I also think there's a lot to this picture. It's in front of a shower. I mean, of all the places you could take a selfie, of all the places you could do it, if you want to take one, you're doing it in front of your shower that doesn't appear to have a shower curtain. I don't know that means anything, but it's interesting. But you're there and he's very clean, very like bright white shirt. It's all buttoned up. He's got his hair slicked back. You know, he's freshly cleaned with the thumbs up, ready for the day. Is this picture just for him, or is this, I was also wondering, and I, again, this is where we don't know so much of the digital footprint yet. I mean, is this something where, hey, this is for his incel buddies if he has them? Because I wouldn't be surprised if he was involved in that sort of, you know, self-commiserating community of people who are just insane, and their hatred towards women of, hey, you know, got one for the team or whatever the hell he's telling himself.
Yeah, what we'll see when they, you know, when we go to trial, if there's more to the digital footprint in his communication with an incel group or not. But we don't have data on that yet.
Yeah, it's speculation.
At this point, I think that's for him.
Is it, are we dealing with confirmation bias right now? Because a lot of people are pointing to this picture. Yeah. And I know the answer is yes. But
yeah.
But I want to get...
There's no doubt.
I want to get your take, and you know where I'm going with this, is the thumb. It does look a little bit... it's a pretty grainy photo. But it looks like there might have been some friction there on that thumb. I mean, if you're stabbing... you're gonna get that friction in that exact spot. Is that a stretch, or are we seeing something here?
Maybe he'd be wearing gloves though at that time. It's interesting. So here's what's also interesting, Tony. When you looked at him, you were describing him as if he was post shower. When I'm looking at him, I'm looking at possibly someone who just came in from something that caused him to be really sweaty with a mask on and a hat on.
So, interesting. Yeah, we have two different takes on that, on our initial.
Yeah, so that's why I mean, that's so many different takes you could have on this, because it looks like, you know, I see a shirt that's buttoned up that that would keep any kind of splatter off of him, you know, going around the rest of the body. And it looks like he could have just come in and he's about to go in the shower from something he just did. And he's all hot and sweaty from it. So it's either, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. Who knows? But there's a lot of possibilities there.
I don't know. You're the one with the FBI experience being
what a conjecture train we're on.
But
though, you know?
My God, like, I'm going to yield to your because God.
It's just the first impressions we get. You know, just because again, but I,
behaviorally, I mean, that's interesting. That I didn't think of it that way.
And so when you look at that too, I really wish we had other photos of him in this same time period, because it'd be really interesting. Because to me, I mean, just look at the eyes, you look at the skin tone. I mean, this looks like someone who's been up all night. He looks exhausted. He looks tired.
Vampire.
Yeah, seriously. But at the same time, it's one data point, so we have nothing to compare it to. This could be completely his normal look, which is kind of as it is. But again, you can't judge it. It's a standalone shot. That's why I really wish we had more data points to compare it to, which they might. Who knows? I do think, though, that's most likely taken for his own benefit, because think about it. Serial killers, they like to remember the moment, because this is the emotion it creates.
Yeah. It'll bring him back to this happiness.
Yes.
As weird as that is. But that this is a moment of a rare moment of happiness, I'm gonna say, in his life. That's my conjecture.
You can conjecture out on this one, that this would be part of, again, if this was able to continue with someone like this. Okay, let's just take his name out of this. Someone like this. Let's say this person is the person that did it. This would be part of their trophies now. I think if other murders that happened along the train, we'd start seeing a collection of these types of photos.
It's interesting, because so many times we see like an object. I don't think I've ever seen a selfie as the photo. And I wonder if that's going to be a new thing, because, you know, it is a relatively new thing that people are taking selfies the way they are.
I think it's also part of how he did what he did and where he did it and who he did it to. He didn't have like other serial killers we've seen. It's been really in remote areas. It's been areas that they really control the environment and the time of that environment. So they could really do a lot of things to the bodies, to position them, to hide them, to stage them in areas that gave them that fantasy world that they're looking for. Where he did this didn't allow him to do that because of the time constraints he was put on. Plus, there's a friggin' witness in the house still. It's interesting. I don't think he understood necessarily what he needed to get out of this, that he was actually doing this for this emotional response in order to relive that emotional response, what he's going to have to do in order to do that, like staging and all these other things, trophies or whatever it is. And so when he came back from it, he might be saying to himself, you know, how am I going to relive this moment? Mm-hmm. Because it's gone now unless I can do something. Bam.
I think we have the answer.
Yeah, just interesting.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.